This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our gospel reading today is one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. Listen to these words from the fifth chapter of Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We are pleased once again to have with us this morning Reverend Karen Giersch, who will be sharing our scripture and sermon.
It's February. I love the month of February. Last year was awful, but let's hope February this year is wonderful. First of all, it's a short month. I know we'll get more snow, but we're on the downward side of winter, so it won't last. And then I like February because it's my birthday month, and I celebrate all month long. And as I said earlier, I have four great-granddaughters. I have five great-grandsons, but four great-granddaughters, all of them born in February. So we celebrate together. And then I like Valentine's Day, a favorite holiday. The profession of love is not just for sweethearts or for children. We all need to hear that we are loved. Hallmark has a great advertisement that says, "Valentine's Day is not a day to say I love you. It's a day to say I love us. I love who we are together. A time to celebrate us, celebrate love, celebrate life." And that brings me to the scripture for today. The Apostle Paul is sharing the characteristics of a Christian from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul gives a list of what the well-dressed Christian will wear. And I am reading this passage from The Message. "So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe that God has picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered. Content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Clothes. Do you remember when you had to take your children shopping for new school clothes? You're still doing it, some of you. I had two boys who refused to try on anything in a store. They would only do it at home. Meant lots of trips back and forth to the store until we found the jeans that fit. And I had a daughter who could never make up her mind. There just might be something else that would be better in the next store. I have a granddaughter and a great-granddaughter they're that like that also. I remember going to the store to buy a pair of shoes to go to school when I was 5 years old. That was a long time ago. Now, I had never gone to the store to buy the shoes before. They would just bring home something, and that's what you wore. Remember? Those of you who are close to my age are nodding your heads. The manager of the store brought one pair after another of shoes in different styles, each one for the right foot. And we tried them. I tried them all on and shook my head at each one. It wasn't the one I wanted. Finally, I can still hear my dad saying to me, but Karen, what's wrong with these shoes? And I burst into tears and I said, but I have to have two of them. They only brought the right shoe. New clothes, new shoes, a new year, needing new attitudes and a new way of doing things. I don't know if any of you watch the award shows that go on all of January and February. There's the big one, the Oscars, is coming up in another week. And they always have the red carpet with all the fancy clothes that the people are wearing or barely wearing. And then they'll talk about, and they'll say who they're wearing, who designed the dress or the tuxedo or the jacket or the shoes. They sure pay attention to shoes, don't they? And like the fashion designers, Paul shares what's in for the Christian. Earlier in this chapter, in verses I didn't read, Paul speaks of attitudes and behaviors we need to let go of. In verse 9, Paul writes, "You're done with that old life. That old life is like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you stripped off and put in the fire. And now you're dressed in a new wardrobe." If we're going to follow Jesus, we have to let go of our old ways and have a new self. Wouldn't it be nice if it was as easy to do that as it is to read those words? We tend to hang on to old clothes. They're comfortable. They're worn down to fit our bodies. And we hang on to old habits and old attitudes, even when we want to let them go. Paul lists some old clothes that we need to cast off: greed, anger, hateful feelings and remarks, lying. He says these attitudes are only fit for the trash. They're not even clothes that are wanted by Goodwill or by Exxon. We each have our list, things that we're guilty of hanging on to, like our old clothes, our old habits. So how do we become a well-dressed Christian? The first step, the most important step, is to remember whose we are. In the Revised Standard, that first line goes, "Because you are God's chosen ones." We are God's chosen ones, the chosen of God, the beloved, loved by God. But it is important to remember that it's not an exclusive choice. Regardless of what we might hear around us in speeches today, remember that most famous Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means all those people out there who don't think like I do, who don't believe the same way I do, who want to follow different understandings. God chooses and loves God's people way beyond the confines of these walls or of this community or of this denomination or of our nation. God's love is not exclusive to those who happen to agree with us. I find myself struggling to remember that these days. Because we are God's chosen ones. Then there are certain attitudes and characteristics that will show. New clothes to wear for the new life. We're to show compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and forgiveness. Those are qualities sorely lacking in our society today. There are times I find those characteristics lacking in myself. We all need to see these examples of God's love for God's people. And to remember what the Apostle Paul said, over all of these wear love. Put on the garment of love, your basic all-purpose garment. Now, I can't do much about what's happening in other communities or happening in our state house or in our government, even in our world. The only place that I can start to make a difference is right here where I am. The only place that you can make a difference is right here where you are. To start where we are, to find examples of love. My favorite Father's Day quote is, the greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. For today, with divorce and split families, at least to show respect for and honor the mother of your children. It's never too late to tell your children that you love them. And probably they can never hear it too many times. Or maybe it's your parents or your nieces and nephews or your aunts and uncles, your friends. We all need to hear in spoken words that we are loved. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, if you look for the worst in others, you'll surely find it. So look for the best. Look for the best in others. Find a way to love others. This is a place to start. That basic overall garment that we're all asked to put on over everything else that we do in our lives. Do it with love. Someone has counted and reports that there are 826 glad passages in the Bible, where we're told to rejoice and love one another, to help one another. Here's some little ways to start. Listen to what somebody is really saying. Have you noticed that there are times when in a conversation, you're spending more of your time thinking about what you're going to say than listening to what the other person is saying? A good listener is a treasure. You can be a good listener. Don't interrupt. Don't think about how you're going to respond. Just give of your time. Smile at others. turn off it, whatever it is. My great-grandchildren walk through the house with the phone in front of them, running into things because they are too busy looking at it. And then they're dropping them every few steps. I don't know how they can keep from cracking everything that's on them. Pray for those that you meet and tell people that you're praying for them. I get the most astounded responses sometimes when I tell people I've been praying for them. I pray for people in ambulances. Whenever an ambulance goes, I don't know who they are, but God knows, and I pray for them. Pray when somebody comes into mind. You know how you're doing something and suddenly person is there? Pray for that person. Or if you dream about someone, pray for that person. You can give someone to God silently right where you are. One person said how she carried fast food gift cards with her to give to people that she meets. Open a door for someone. Give someone a compliment. The author Debbie Macomber tells about the story of a mother frantically looking for her six-year-old who was a half hour late coming home from school. That would be worrisome. "Where have you been?" she asked as soon as her daughter walked in the house. "Oh, I'm sorry, Mommy." There were tears on her cheeks. "Susan brought her glass doll to school today for show and tell, and on the way home she dropped it, and it's all broken." The mother gathered her little girl in her arms and said, "Did you stop to help her fix the doll?" "No," she said, I don't know how to help her fix it. I just stopped to help her cry. Over all these, put on garment of love. Sometimes loving others means we stay with them to help them cry, to share in their pain or sorrow or worry. The garment of love. The most important thing we wear, the most important characteristic of whose we are.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.